Small businesses could soon compete for contracts in more industries. That's according to a new bill from House Small Businesses Committee Chairman Steve Chabot. He introduces the Small Contractors Improve Competition Act. It is looking at industries that don't do much government business now and ways to attract those small businesses to compete in those areas. It also sets an annual small business goal for each agency. Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller is here with details on the bill and how it could affect your agency. And Congressman Chabot's been on the Hill for a long time. I would have thought he would have come up with a bill name with a better acronym than this bill, which turns into the SCICA Act, which, you know, could run some people off. But what is different about the approach in this piece of legislation to small business contracting?
Well, this is one of the most wide-ranging pieces of small business legislation that I've seen in a long time. And I think what he's trying to do is take a lot of the other bills that have been introduced over the last, you know, maybe last session of Congress plus, and really merge them together, the best of all worlds, and put them into this one bill. And, you know, if this bill can make it through all the hurdles that we know they have to go through, this could really change the way small businesses do work to contract with the government. And let me tell you why, Francis, because the one reason that really stands out to me is they're, instead of just trying to raise the small business goal for government-wide, you know, contracts going to small businesses, which is currently at 23%, his predecessors have said, let's go to 25%. Let's go even higher. And the small business community is like, yeah, but everyone else is like, whoa, we're not even making the 23%.
Yeah.
Why extend the goal when we can't even reach 23%? Which, by the way, I should point out that in 2013, that was the first year in 9 years they reached 23% of all contracts going to small businesses. So what Congressman Chabot is saying is basically saying, well, instead of doing it that way, let's have SBA set a new methodology. Part of that methodology would look at underrepresented industries where for small businesses. They're doing contracting in the federal government. And let's come up with a methodology that really sets up prime contracts, subcontracts as part of that overall goal and set up the goal per each agency. It's unclear if that 23% goal would go away or whether all that would equal 23% in the end.
So you're writing on federalnewsradio.com that this legislation borrows ideas from five different pieces of legislation. What are those? And is this more than just those five tacked together?
I think so. Again, I think it's part of it is the best of both worlds. So if you go through each of the sections of the bill, the merging of the methodology was one bill that was, I think, brought up several times by Congressman Graves, a former chairman of the Small Business Committee. Mm-hmm. They have a contract bundling and consolidation section. That was another bill. You have a reverse auction section that we can talk about that is very important. Sean McCauley, one of your producers and one of our web writers, has a very good story on federalnewsradio.com about a recent hearing about reverse auctions, and it addresses some of the concerns that have been growing over the last year, 2 years about reverse auctions. Mm-hmm. And then it also looks at some joint teaming, joint venturing things that make it easier for small businesses to compete and bid on those larger consolidated or bundled contracts.
My colleague Sean's piece is on federalnewsradio.com. You'll hear some highlights in this program today about from that Small Business Committee hearing. And one of the witnesses at that hearing, Dan Gordon, the former OFPP administrator, is going to join us tomorrow talking about that issue and other contracting issues vis-a-vis small
and
businesses.
Let me just tell you, I read Dan's testimony. Mm-hmm. Dan is one of those, you know, middle-of-the-road guys. He will tell you how he feels, and he'll always make you feel good about, you know, telling you how he feels, even if you don't like the way he feels.
Right.
He really has some interesting things to say about FedBid specifically, but about reverse auctions more broadly.
And the dynamic there is interesting to me because, of course, the head of FedBid's federal arm now is Dan's successor as in the head of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, Joe Jordan. So the dynamic there, and one of the advisors to FedBid is former Administrator Steve Kelman. So there's
the OFPP.
It's a tangled web we weave, is how the saying goes. Speaking of reverse auctions, you mentioned this legislation includes some language about them. What's there?
Well, basically, I think there's been an uproar over FedBid, and because they control about 99% of the reverse auction market, they happen to be the 800-pound gorilla.
Right.
But I think more broadly, the Government Accountability Office has called on OFPP to say, you need to give agencies more guidance, more, you know, a roadmap for how to use reverse auctions the best way. And I think what this legislation is doing is, hey, OFPP, if you're not going to act, and it's been more than a year since GAO put out this report, Congress is saying, we'll act for you. And what they're saying is they're really laying out when agencies should use reverse auctions, in some ways how they should use them. For instance, don't use them for construction services. It doesn't make sense. Use them for commodities, known quantities of what you're buying. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got to buy, you know, 1,000 pencils. We know how that works, mm-hmm. not complex IT services. Hey, that's not a good idea. And then they also talk about, and this is what Dan Gordon will get into, is the difference between who should be in charge of reverse auctions. Many times what has happened is agencies go, well, I don't know how to do this. I'll just let the experts do it. In this case, FedBid, but there are other options out there. And where Dan Gordon comes in and says, listen, this may cross the line of what they call inherently governmental. Mm-hmm. And that gets into A76, circular A76 from OMB, yep. where it says, what should government do and what shouldn't they do? What should they outsource? What shouldn't they outsource? And that's why I think this bill is trying to address some of those concerns.
Well, I wonder, too, if some of the concerns, I mean, have you heard anyone talking about the potential impact that reverse auctions could have on things like schedules contracts, where you ordinarily would go to a schedule and try to find a low price, that business won't be going through GSA, won't be going through NASA Soup, it won't be going through et cetera, et cetera.
Well, who has the, you know, if FedBid has 99%, that other 1% is probably GSA
right.
with the reverse auction tool.
Well, but that, what does that say about the reverse auction tool? I don't know. I don't mean that as a rhetorical question. I wonder what that really means if an outside company, an outside entity, has this big of a market share in a market where GSA exists.
I think the reason why is because FedBid's been there longer. Mm-hmm. It's a better known company in many regards, and I think GSA's reverse auction tool just hasn't gotten the pickup yet, but it's still fairly new. But what the bill is saying is, well, who should be running it, and should they know how to run it, and what is the amount of transparency that is going into the reverse auction process? And I think those are some of the concerns we've seen that GAO has highlighted in bid protests. Not necessarily saying FedBid is doing something wrong, though I think you could find people who would argue that,
yeah.
but that the agency is not handling the process well, which I'll tag back to OFPP,
right.
needs to issue some guidelines. And I don't think anyone would disagree with that. Unfortunately, I'm not sure if Anne Rung, who is now the current OFPP administrator, if that's high enough on her agenda or on her agenda at all to come out and say, yes, we will do this. I mean, we're seeing several memos coming from her, but that has not been one that she's mentioned.
I imagine if Congressman Shabbat pushes this bill and it looks like he might have some success, it will jump to Anne's closer to the top, at least, of her priority list, though.
You would think so, especially if the Senate picks up on this as well and there's a complementary bill on the Senate side. Mm-hmm. I think then you'll start seeing it. You know, so much of these bills, I think the members of Congress, they introduce once, they introduce twice, three and four times, and on the fifth time they hope it gets picked up.
Yeah.
So we don't know, you know, it's hard to say if this is the second time of introduction or is this the fifth time to really push this through the hurdles.
I want to go back to the small business goals for each agency because I think that's an important piece of this, and you touched on kind of briefly where I wanted to go in a little more depth, and that is the 23% goals haven't gotten hit, you know, until last year for who knows how long.
9 years.
Okay.
I count them. Sorry.
I'm not surprised. And that's why you're here. And that's why you're the expert and I'm not. Okay. So 9 years, no goals hit. Last year, goals hit. Do we have a sense of what the motivation is to try to increase them more other than, hey, I want to be the guy that's sticking up for small business?
I think the feeling is that there's so much opportunity. I mean, it's $500 billion market, $450 billion market. And if the small businesses can only get, you know, 23%, you know, but majority of the companies are small. I mean, let me just, you brought up GSA schedules. I think the number is something to the effect of there's 35,000 companies on the GSA schedule and 70% are small. So people have argued this, and I've heard this, that why not just have it, the goal be 70%?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a nice argument, but there's a lot of more complexity in there. So I think what the members of Congress are saying is there are agencies that can do better, and we should tie it to performance goals of their managers because it is important to make sure small businesses are supported by the federal government. And in many ways, this is a policy issue I think both sides of the aisle can get behind. And I think that's why this potentially will have more legs, because Congressman Chabot is not just saying, let's just raise it. Let's look at each agency and then have the SBA develop a methodology to say prime awards and this is very important, subcontract awards, because a lot of times people forget how important subcontractor awards are for small businesses being able to grow.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, any sense of the timeline of this bill yet?
It's hard to say. You know, they just introduced it. They had a series of hearings last week to kind of tee up the bill. They just released it last week. It still has to go through a markup and then a vote. So later this summer, but it's hard to say.
Excellent. Thank you as always. And your reports on federalnewsradio.com.